If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this first Sunday of February 1975, we are happy indeed to greet you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God good? Hasn't He been good to you this week in sparing your life, in providing your needs, in bringing you to this very hour? We here at Worth Baptist Church are indeed rejoicing in the good things that the Lord is doing for us week by week. We have just closed the most wonderful January, in fact, one of the most wonderful months in the history of our church. You'll be glad to know that our Sunday school averaged 488 per Sunday during the days of January. And we thank God for the many additions, almost 30 additions to our church during these days. Well, the month of February is before us, and we're happy that we're beginning today our spring enlargement program. It will continue through Sunday, March the 2nd. Let your light shine is the theme of our program for this spring enlargement endeavor. Our 21st anniversary will be on Sunday, March the 2nd. We're looking forward to that being the greatest day in the history of our church. Our week of witnessing will be the last week of February, during which time we anticipate that we will contact no less than 10,000 people in the city and in the Metroplex. That'll begin on February 23rd and go through Sunday, March the 2nd, our anniversary day. So the month of February and the first Sunday of March, these will be outstanding days for us here at Worth Baptist Church. Let me encourage you to mark that date on your calendar. Sunday, March 2nd, the 21st anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. In the meantime, for those things that are near at hand, today, on this Lord's Day, we would be happy to have you and your family come and share with us the good things that God is doing. For 1975, we have adopted the family plan in our Sunday school and church outreach. And by that, we mean that we're encouraging the families of Worth Baptist Church to adopt a family that's unchurched and win that family to Christ and to the church during this year. What are your plans for today? Have you included God, the Bible, Christ, the church? We invite you to come today and visit with us in our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, where the Bible only is taught. We are teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. You'll find a warm welcome and a lesson from the Word of God in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock today. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. We are now in a series of messages on Sunday evening, entitled 1975 in Prophecy. What does God's Word have to say about the day, the hour, the time in which we live? You'll learn some of these things as you come and hear these messages. My message tonight will be entitled, Silence in Heaven. Why will there be silence in heaven? How long will it last? What is about to happen on earth? Where will the Christian be during that time? These are some of the questions that will be answered in my message this evening in the series 1975 in Prophecy, the message entitled, Silence in Heaven. We invite you to come and share with us this day in the Lord here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We have recently purchased 14 acres adjoining the Fort Worth State School, 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 at Campus Drive. We are launching beginning today and continuing on through the days of 1975, a concerted effort of prayer that God will open the door for us to soon build on that property. In fact, we have begun and will initiate it on our anniversary day, a drive of $25,000 to be paid on that property. We would like for you to be in prayer with us about that during these days. And again, in the meanwhile, right here at our present property, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we invite you and your family to come today and share with us the blessings of God. And we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. If you would like the cassette tapes of Worth Baptist Hour, we invite you to write us and inquire how you can receive them. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled Tribulation Revival. I shall read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have in Him. We thank Thee for the blessed hope that we have, that one day He shall come and receive us unto Himself. We pray today as this broadcast fills the air, as men's hearts are stirred by the Holy Spirit, that many would turn to Christ. Bless this message and this broadcast to the heart of every listener today, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, at verse 9, I read these words. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. So let it be. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When chapter 7 opens, we saw last week in our message on the 144,000, there is a great suspension of the judgment of God. This time period under consideration from the Revelation chapter 6, actually, and on through chapter 18, is the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. When the period begins, the church will already be in heaven. We will be glorified, sanctified, and identified with Christ around the throne of God. The Antichrist will be reigning on the earth during these days of the tribulation period, which begins immediately after the rapture. First, he will come in peaceful means, riding the white horse, with a bow but no arrow, going forth to conquer with peaceful means. And then, in the midst of that period, after the first 3.5 years, he will break his covenant that he made with Israel in the beginning of it, and turn on that nation, and there shall be war, and bloodshed, and consternation, and carnage like the world has never known. This is seen in the red, the black, and the pale horses of Revelation chapter 6. The 144,000 mentioned in the early part of Revelation 7 are Jews, Israelites indeed. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit. They are sealed from judgment. They are sealed to become flaming evangelists to preach the everlasting gospel to the great block of Gentile nations during the time of Jacob's trouble. In these verses, there are three things that we would note. First, the message preached by the 144,000 sealed Jews. Second, the multitudes to whom they will preach. And third, the method of the salvation of these multitudes. Let us note then first the message to be preached by the 144,000 flaming evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. There has never been but one message that can reach the hearts of men. That is not philosophy. That is not education. That is not the social gospel. The only message that will reach the hearts of men is the salvation of God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That message the 144,000 will preach. And this is the message that has been preached through the ages. For example, the Holy Spirit preached that message, in essence, to Adam and Eve. And they believed the Word of God about the coming Redeemer, as was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Consequently, they were clothed in garments from a slain animal that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Redeemer, who would die on the cross. Look at Abel. The Bible tells us that Abel offered a lamb by faith and was accepted of God. When Abel offered that lamb, it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come and sacrificially die upon the cross. What about Abraham? The Bible says that Abraham saw Christ's day and was glad. In Genesis 22, he would have offered Isaac, his son, as a burnt sacrifice. But God said no. God substituted a little ram caught in a thicket. And this ram becomes a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Abraham said to his son, "Son, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb." And John the Baptist echoed that truth, standing in the waters of the Jordan River when he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. Thus he, by faith, heard and believed the same message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Aaron sprinkled the blood of the sacrificial animal upon the mercy seat and there made a sacrifice and an atonement for the sins of Israel. That was a perfect type of the Lord Jesus, who would come and die on the cross. And one day, one eventful day, Jesus Christ did come. He was born of a virgin. He lived as no other man lived. He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine and for the sins of the whole world. Today, in this age, we are saved by looking back upon the finished work of Christ. Before Christ came, all of those who looked forward were saved by the same message, the message that Jesus Christ would come. Whether it be Adam or Abel or Abraham or Aaron, they were all saved by looking forward and believing the message of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ would come and make a sacrifice for sins. So the message has always been the same. Paul said, "If any man preach any other gospel, even if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed." So the message that will be preached by the 144,000 during the tribulation period, during Daniel's 70th week, during the time of Jacob's trouble, will be the same message that has been preached from the dawn of creation, from Adam until this very moment. What about the multitude? Who are they? That's the question. We read in verse 9 that there is a great, uncounted, unnumbered multitude. From every tongue, from every kindred, from every nation, from all peoples of the entire earth. Now there are but two peoples in God's economy, the Jew and the Gentile. The Jew we have seen in the earlier verses of chapter 7, the 144,000 Israelites, Jews indeed. This great multitude under consideration now can be none other than a great multitude from all the Gentile nations of earth. People who have not heard the gospel of redeeming grace. People who had not the same opportunity that we have. But people who in that day, by the preaching of the blood of Christ, by the 144,000, will hear it and believe it and they'll be saved. So the multitude is identified as a great multitude of Gentiles having never heard the gospel who will hear it in that age and believe it and be saved. In the third point that we would consider, the method of their salvation. How are they going to be saved? Verse 14 says, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. All who came before Christ were saved by the blood of Christ. We in this age are saved by the blood of Christ. The saints in the tribulation period will be saved by His blood. No man will ever be in heaven until and unless he comes by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. The poet put it this way, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. It is the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. There is no other way. I read in John 1, 11 and 12, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's the blood of Christ. I read in John 3, 5, Ye must be born again. A man cannot be born again, born spiritually, apart from the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 reads, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is brought about only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. In John 3:18 we read, He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. We read in John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And in John 5:24, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then we read in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. What about Acts 4:12? There we read, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts 16:31, we read, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My friend, there never has been, there never shall be any way or method or means of salvation except by the redemptive work of Christ, by His shed blood, by His atoning death on the tree. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 at verse 8, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the message of redeeming grace. That's the message of the blood. And we read in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Paul will declare, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, the only way you can be saved is for you to recognize that you're a sinner, for you to confess your sins, for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to receive Him into your heart and into your life. You can do that right now by your radio. You can simply pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will save you this moment. Remember, those who were once afar off are now in Christ Jesus made nigh by the blood. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. This is the message of redemption. It was preached in the long ago. It is preached today. It will be preached by the 144,000 in the day of the tribulation. And all men, I repeat, all men who ever have been saved or who shall ever be saved will be saved by the blood of Christ. These are they which came up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. I have a footnote and I shall be through. If you ever intend to be saved, you ought to be saved today. If you ever intend to start serving God, you ought to start today. If you ever intend to get right with God, you ought to get right with Him today. If you ever intend to join the church, you ought to join the church today. You ought to do it now. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I trust right this moment you'll think about this question. What if Jesus Christ were to come today? Would you be ready? Would you go to heaven? Mother's going, daddy's going, brother's going, sister's going. Are you going? You can be ready for that hour by your simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ this moment. Trust Him as your Savior. And may the Lord bless you as you do it, even in this moment. As we leave the broadcast today, let me remind you once again that we would be happy to have you share the blessings of God with us here at Worth Baptist Church today, 3309 Wilbarger Street, where the Sunday school meets at 10, the morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. The special series of messages, 1975 in prophecy, and the message entitled, Silence in Heaven. Come today, and I know that you'll receive a blessing as you do. And until next Lord's Day, by radio at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.